tonight in the 64th Psalm, continuing to make our way through the Old Testament. Travail in the house of God. Psalm 64 and 1. And we've been doing overviews of several psalms at a time, but tonight we're going to get hung up here for a little bit in the first part of Psalm 64. Everyone say, "Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy." Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's give him praise and thanks, and let's bless his name in the house tonight. Thank you, Lord God, for your word forever settled in the heavens. We thank you for your word, powerful and true. Thank you for your truth that makes us free, mighty God. We give you thanks. We give you praise. We magnify your name for it. Praise God. And in this psalm, David declares, "God, hear me. Hear me in my prayer and preserve my life from fear of the enemy." Praise God. He said, "Preserve my life from fear." He didn't ask that God would preserve him from his enemy. We've talked about this as much as we probably need to, but your enemy really doesn't matter. But how you respond is what matters. His strength doesn't determine the outcome. But what determines the outcome is your response to God. Well, praise God. God, in no uncertain terms, tells us he's interested not so much how you respond to your enemy, but how you respond to God and his word concerning your enemy. David prays, "God, preserve me from fear." It's amazing how often you hear the mantra in the Word of God, "Fear not." When God encounters man, in many instances, man is terrified. And the Word of God will say it outright. And they were terrified and affrighted. They thought they had seen a spirit. John said, "I saw him and I fell down like dead at his feet." There's something inside of us, primal and ancient, down in that pool where all things begin in our lives, and the seedbed of fear is there. The seedbed of every fear is there. Fear begins with sin. Everybody say, "Fear begins with sin." Praise God. Genesis chapter 3, Brother Randy. And God is interrogating Adam. And look at verse 10. "The eyes of them both were open. They knew that they were naked. They made fig leaf coverings for themselves. And they went and they hid themselves from God." This is a first. They had no sin. They had communion with God. They walked with God in the cool of the evening. They had perfect harmony with one another. And everything was wonderful in the garden. But God said, "Who told you? Why are you hiding here like this?" They said, "Well, we knew that you were coming and we hid ourselves and we were afraid." This is the first time this word appears in the Word of God. And a man that had communion with God now doesn't. And fear has taken the place of that relationship. Fear has raised its head. There was no fear in the garden. There was no fear between God and man. There was no fear between man and man. And the animals were not afraid. It's not until Noah gets off the ark that God says, when he's telling them about sacrifice and all the new conditions of that Noahic covenant, he says, "And the fear of you and the dread of you is going to be upon all of the animals." Because now Noah's going to be eating animals. they were fruit and vegetables in the garden, but now they're going to eat the animals. God gives the animals an even break. It wasn't hard loading the animals on the ark because they were docile. They were not afraid of man. You know what it's going to be like in the millennial? It's going to be peace on earth, Jesus ruling in Jerusalem, and the lion will lie down with the lamb. There's going to be a restoration of Edenic conditions on the earth. And there's not going to be any fear in the animal population in the millennial that is to come. But our world is eaten up with fear. Fear begins with sin. You say, well, Brother Sutton, I've got childhood fears in my life, and I'm scared to death of a lot of things. Is it because of the sin in my life? No, it's because of the sin in our nature. It's because there was a Pandora's box, but it wasn't the Grecian mythological Pandora's box. It was when Adam and Eve touched that tree and they opened up the box of sin, and all the evils in the world came forth at that one moment, and fear came forth on that day. It came forth with death. It came forth with broken communion with God. Fear is a brother to all of the dark things that entered in the day of the breach of the covenant in the garden. Fear is sister to all the pervasive evils that came forth on that day. And it is no wonder that in the last chapters of Revelation, when God is talking about who is going to go to the lake of fire, He lists whoremongers, he lists idolaters, he lists liars, and he says the fearful are going to be with all those other types of sin. You say, well, it's not my fault that I'm afraid. No, but it's the product of sin. It's an indication of sin. It's the antithesis of trust. It's the opposite of faith. Fear won't work with walking with God. Fear won't work with the moving of the Holy Ghost. Fear won't work if you're going to stand up and be counted in the kingdom of God. Fear has no place in the house of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. All right. Now, fearful people are very sensitive people. And some of you may be feeling kind of sensitive toward me right now. There are probably not many of us that haven't felt the heebie-jeebies walking through a dark house at night or through a graveyard at night. What were you doing in a graveyard at night? Or when you're at home all by yourself and the old house is creaking and popping, stirring. I was afraid of those things as a child. But we, you know, the military, the special forces like to say that the night belongs to us. I want to tell you, it's the church that should say the night belongs to us. There is nothing that goes bump out there that doesn't belong to my God, that doesn't bow before the name of Jesus. There is nothing on the earth or 6 feet under the earth that doesn't belong to God. Well, somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Fear is so pervasive, it's as pervasive as humanity and sin, that when God encounters mankind on oft occasions throughout the scripture, he has to preface the whole conversation with fear not, because they're scared out of their wits when they meet God. Matthew chapter 10 verse 28, Jesus peels back and exposes the reality of it. He said, don't be afraid of the one that can kill your body. He said, you need to fear the one that can cast both body and soul into hell. The one that can kill your body can't touch your soul. But there's a God in heaven. He said, now if you want to fear something, fear God. If you want to fear somebody, fear God. Praise the Lord. But God's people have been delivered from fear. Three of you said amen. God's people. Isaiah 41, he goes on a run. He said, I am with you. Somebody say, God is with me. Isaiah 41, he said, I will help thee. Say, God will help me. Praise God. He tells Jacob, he says, fear not, thou worm, Jacob. It's an affectionate term. He loves Jacob. And he says, don't be afraid, my little buddy, you little worm. I'm going to take care of you. Isaiah 43, he said, I've redeemed you. Don't be afraid. He said, Jacob, you're my servant. Fear not. In chapter 44 of Isaiah, he says, neither be afraid. Don't fear. In the New Testament, he nails it down for us in a new covenant and says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Why would you be afraid if God is with you? And now, all fears and all phobias rattle back down to essential fear, which is there buried in that primal place with sin and separation from God. And really what it is an expression down at a spiritual level that is hard to articulate. It's even hard to understand. That's why it's so hard to get a handle on it sometimes. But it's down at the very core. It's a fear of non-being. It's a fear of ceasing to exist. It's a fear of no definition, a fear of lacking form. See, you thought you were afraid of the dark, but that's not what it is. You thought you were afraid of heights, but that's not what it is. You thought you were afraid of spiders, but that's not what it is. Down at the base of your spirit, there is a pool of fear that comes from separation with God. And I'll tell you this, there's not a fear in your life that can't be healed and can't be cured from a close association with God. I'm butting my head against concrete right now. Because some of you are saying, I love God, I'm close to God, and I'm still afraid. I've just got to tell you, there's nothing under the bed, and there's nothing in the closet, and there's nothing coming up out of the graveyard tonight, and there's nothing going to drift through in a spectral form in the middle of the night in your bedroom. And if it does, it belongs to God, and it answers to Him. Everything bows to the name of Jesus. Praise God. Now, fear will put you in bondage. Fear works against your faith, your trust in God. Fear undermines the word of God in your life. And the devil and every spirit will undermine your faith. And the scripture says you're in bondage by fear. Hebrews 2 and 15. Through fear of death, they were all their lifetimes subject to bondage. Until you get victory over fear, you're going to be in bondage to every spirit that wants to come by and rattle your faith and hassle you just because you're a child of God. Let's go over to their house tonight and hassle them. Let's breathe little evil nothings in their ear. Let's touch them with a cold hand and make them afraid and say, God, look at your kids. They're scared to death. They don't trust you. They don't believe you. Praise God. We fear a lot of things. But fear of God is the only dominant fear that ought to be present in the house of God or in the life of someone who loves God. Can you say praise the Lord? You remember the pigs and the demons at Gadara? What was that about? Jesus said, I'm going to run you out of there. Who are you? Legion, we are many. You know, if that broke down in this altar one night, there's a good chance it would separate the men from the boys. Let's put it that way. Some little gal down there and she says, we are legion. Well, Jesus said, come out. And they said, please don't send us off into formlessness or non-being. Look, here's some pigs. Send us into that. And so he said, okay, because he knew what the pigs were going to do. Pigs won't put up with stuff. People will. They went into the pigs, and the pigs ran headlong over the cliff and into the sea and drowned. And then the demons had to go into the dry places anyway. They just got retched up by the pigs choking on the water. And they went down into the deep. And then they had to vacate those pig bodies. And they were afraid of formlessness. They were afraid of non-being. And it's the same kind of fear that's down inside your life. But God's made you a promise. You will never be formless. You are defined by the word of God. You have form given you by the kingdom of God. And you're going to have a new body that will live forever. And so you don't have to be afraid of anything else that the human race from Adam all the way down to this night has been terrified of. You don't have to be afraid. Somebody look at your neighbor and tell them, you don't have to worry. And don't you be afraid. Sounds like a song. We ought to write something about that. Praise God. Romans 8:15. There is a spirit of bondage unto fear. He said, but you haven't received a spirit of bondage again unto fear. But you've received a spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba, Father. Somebody say praise the Lord. Come on now, the Holy Ghost didn't come to you so you could be rattled with fear and hide in some corner and slink around like some weak little puny person that didn't know God. God adopted you. You belong to God. You need to brace yourself. Stand up in the middle of the dark moment. Stand up in the middle of the pressure and say, I'm a lot of things, but I want you to know something, devil. I'm not afraid of you. Praise God. Praise God. 1 John chapter 4, John says, fear hath torment. Walking the floor, wringing your hands, fretting your brow. You got a permanent crease between your eyebrows because you're fearful. What's the Holy Ghost? What is the kingdom of God? Somebody tell me. It's three things. It's peace, joy, fear. Peace, joy, terror, righteousness. It doesn't say anything at all about fear. And we know you should fear God. That has to do with obedience and respect. But fear is not in the equation of living for God. Praise God. Fear paralyzes you. Fear paralyzes your faith. That's why the lion roars before he attacks. Because he makes the gazelle go, If he came to get you, if you were just unlocking your car tonight and a lion, you heard that, you would go, And that's what it's designed. That's what it's designed to do. It's kind of freeze you up for a minute so he can bite you and take you down. Fear paralyzes you. You're not praying dynamic prayers when you're afraid. You're not believing God for miracles when you're afraid. You're not walking in the power of the Holy Ghost when you're afraid. Fear will paralyze you. Fear will distract you, and it'll distort reality around you. It's not what your fear speaks. Your fear always speaks a lie. Your fear always speaks a lie. The word of God is true. And fear is lying to you when it's talking to you. When you feel fear coming up in your heart, you need to say, you're lying to me. You're lying to me. It's not going to be that way. It's going to be the way God has said by his word. You need to open your mouth and say it. Praise God. He wants to distract you from what you know to do and have you walk off in your mind into the unknown, the world of paranoia, fretting. Worry. And you don't ever sit there imagining good things. You don't ever hear a noise in the middle of the night and think, somebody just left a gift at the front door. Hurry, honey, let's go see. Somebody's blessing us. You don't ever think that. You think about a guy with a 14-inch K-bar knife coming in to disembowel the family. Said, well, I hadn't thought about that before, but now I will since you've mentioned it. Egad. But why do you go to the negative? Because your flesh is negative. Because fear is down in that place of separation from God. And it can only speak negatively. It can't say anything true and it can't say anything positive. You need to get a hold of it and speak back to it and say, you're lying to me. It's the antithesis of faith. Praise God. Now, have you noticed that some people walk through the same circumstances and they respond differently? It's not set in stone that you have to behave or respond or live a certain way. But it has to do with your mindset. It has to do with what you allow in terms of strongholds in your mind. Praise God. But Tony, is Anthony ever afraid? When he was little. Yeah. And so what did you do to comfort him? You held him and talked to him, told him good things, positive things. No alligators under the bed. Anthony, did you believe him, though? You know, when you're talking to your kid and you think you got it all in control and you're about to leave the room, they say, talk more. Because they don't want you to leave because they know there's an alligator under the bed. And you just don't know it because adults can't see them. There's monsters in the closets and alligators under the bed and things that come out, and adults are just oblivious. Adults are useless when it comes to monsters and stuff. They don't know about them. And all the while we're trying to comfort our children, guess who's trying to comfort us? But as you're dealing with him, you're trying to be rational, but he's not feeling a rational. Feelings are not rational. It has nothing to do with rationality. And so your rational excuses and your rational explanations are like BBs against 4-inch armor, because he's feeling a feeling. And you can't speak the feeling away. You can stay there with him and sleep with him all night. And he knows the monster's going to eat the big guy. He's not going to eat me. That makes him comforted somewhat. But God's trying to comfort us. And he's talking to us by his word. I'm with you. I'll fight for you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I love you. I'm on your side. I'm for you. He tells us all the things we tell our kids. And our kids don't believe us. And a lot of us don't believe God. When you get this, you can walk right down through the middle of the darkest midnight, like 100 midnights in 100 cypress swamps, dark as it can be. And I mean, God is the God of the darkness. Once you get this, there are no creepy crawlies except those that are between your ears. There are no things that go bump in the night that have power over you, because you've been covered by the blood. You've been covered by the name. You've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's a day to put fear to bed. It's a day to walk away from fear and to open your mouth and speak faith. Praise the Lord. Praise God. If you've ever heard the phrase, the thing we feared the most has come upon us. It's a biblical phrase. And there are some, you know, when it was the most ironic thing in the world, some years ago, a man with loaded pistols walked into a restaurant. Was it Luby's or Lubby's in Texas? And he began to one by one execute people in that building. Before the morning was out, he had killed over 20 people in that restaurant, full of people who, if they would have come together and just coalesced, there were forks and knives all over that building, and heavy salt shakers and Tabasco salt, there were weapons all over every table. The guy might have shot one or two, but fear put them under the chairs and under the tables and in the corners and away. Can I suggest to you tonight that you don't run away from the object of your fear, that you run toward it, that you get right up in its grill and you begin to tell it who God is and who you are and what you know, and pull out the sword of the Spirit and begin to brandish the Word of God. It's an obscenity for fear to come in this house and begin to touch children and young people in this place. My God, there ought to be somebody here with enough brass to stand up and say, this place belongs to God. My house belongs to God. My children belong to God. I won't. You've read enough of the Word of God to know that God uses terror against the enemy. Haven't you read it where God put terror in the heart of the enemy and they begin to kill one another and run from the people of God? Don't you know that God controls fear? But he's looking for somebody that'll stand up in the middle of it tonight and say, God is alive in my life. God is ruler over my home. Well, praise God. If you're afraid of the dark, you need to get a hold of the fact that God is God in the middle of the darkness. David said, if I hide in the dark and it's darkness all around me, he's right there in the midst of the darkness. Praise God. We're not afraid. Apostolics are not afraid of graveyards or ghosts. Because we understand all that. Look, if you're building strongholds by watching stupid things and reading stupid things, if you read all day long about people doing heinous things to other people, and you read about horrible spiritual things, you're building a stronghold in your mind. And when you lie there at night, your mind just naturally processes everything you feed it. And those things are going to feed your fears now. You can't keep a good, healthy mental life and spiritual life if you're feeding yourself with junk. Praise God. But most of us don't have to worry about that because we don't have televisions in our home and we don't go to movies and we don't. Well, praise God. Why is that? Because we don't want these babies to be afraid. Praise God. But graveyards belong to God. And in the last days, he's going to call them up. Everybody say, in the last days, he's going to call them up. I don't care about all the ghost stories your mama told you or your daddy told you or your grandparents told you. Oh, boy, all you got to do is get right up in the middle of a little group like this and start, man, my grandma told us about one time out in the swamp. They were out there and something came floating. Oh, Aunt Hazel came floating in through the window and she was... Well, I mean, sitting here with everybody and the lights on and all, you're laughing about that. But I mean, when it gets kind of creepy in the middle of the night and all, you think, stay away, Aunt Hazel, don't be coming in. You know. But the Bible said God's going to call them forth on the last day. People don't come back. Now, I'm talking to people that have superstition already stitched through your mind. You've heard the stories, and some of you might believe you've seen something. If you have, you've seen a demonic presence. You haven't seen a ghost. The only ones that have ever come back, Samuel came back and he was aggravated about it. Saul called him up, and when he braced Saul, he said, why have you troubled me? And it was Samuel. God let him come back to tell Saul what his fate was going to be. He said, by the end of the day, you're going to be with me. That's pretty scary. Elijah and Moses came back. Moses came back from the dead. Elijah came back from wherever you go when tornadoes take you. He went up in a whirlwind. I'm not going to finish this tonight. You see that? But we understand that when you die, your body goes to the grave. Your spirit either goes to hell or into the presence of God. Cite Luke chapter 16, the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus got an angelic escort into the presence of God, and the rich man went straight into hell, lifted up his eyes in hell, and said, send Lazarus with a drop of water on his little finger. Let him touch it to my tongue. He said, well, let Lazarus go back and tell my brothers not to come. He said, they got the law and the prophets. If they won't hear that, what he said was, Lazarus ain't going back. You need to get this. People don't come back. And the rich guy would love to have gone back, but he ain't getting out either. Oh, let me tell you, if you could crack the door of hell just a half an inch, the whole place would be empty. And they wouldn't be off. Ooh. They'd be finding a place to pray. They'd be trying to find a place to redeem themselves and never go back to that place again. You get that? You're scared of. Now, who in the world started all that business about dead people coming back? Why would somebody want to start a story like that? Because they'd want to undermine the word of God. Guess where that belched forth from? Ghost stories. You're a lie from hell. You're trying to undermine my faith. Now, some of it, I tell you what, I am feeling some things bounce off of some of you tonight because these are sacred stories you've received from your forebears about ghosts in the pantry. But I'll just tell you, you can't have that and have the word of God too now. You got to shuck that. You got to leave that. No ghosts. That is right. Well, praise the Lord. You okay? Turn to your neighbor and say, I ain't afraid of nothing. Praise God. You say, well, if a guy came in this door and put a big 44 Magnum under your nose, you'd be afraid. That ain't fear, friend. That's just common sense. My autonomic nervous system would start going. My heart rate would go up. My blood pressure would go up. And beads of sweat would form here and here. Has nothing at all to do with fear. Just my body's on automatic. You understand what I'm saying? Fear, we have healthy respect for things that can hurt us. We have fear for fear of the Lord, fear of the word of God. But there is no place in your life for fear of the abstract, for fear of the unknown, because God is your shelter and God is your refuge and God is Lord over our lives. Somebody ought to say praise the Lord. Praise God. I'm going to quit. We can't finish. But how many of you ever heard of a little guy named Red Adair? Yep. 1, 2, 3, 4. Red Adair is widely known in South Texas, and he's widely known among people that are involved in the oil industry, because when you go around oil fields, you just, by nature of the industry, you have fires. And I mean, they have fire under pressure and natural gas fires and horrific fires that can't be put out with natural means. And there are these select groups of men, intrepid individuals, that walk right up to the fire, set explosive charges, run bulldozers in that place, and put out those fires for a living. Guess who went? I guess Red Adair was probably 80 years old at the first Gulf War. Guess who went to put out the oil wells that Saddam Hussein set on fire? Red Adair, little wiry like a piece of Texas sagebrush, you know, came tromping up out in there, and the explosion sucks all the oxygen out of the atmosphere and puts out the fire. But there's a lot of things going on there that promotes fear in the heart of people that would go and try to put them out, like explosions and big raging fires and the potential of a greater explosion underground, killing everybody in a mile radius. And some people are afraid of things like that. But this guy's not, and his whole crew's not. You can't subdue a problem like that and be afraid. But when he subdued his fear, then he could go where other people were not ever able to go. He could accomplish things. He became a legend. And he did it because he first subdued his fears. And I know some of you have heard of Chuck Yeager. He's another elderly gentleman. He's about your age, Sister Riggs. He still flies jets. No, he doesn't. But Chuck Yeager broke the sound barrier. And the reason he could do it is because he subdued his fear. everybody else that got near breaking the sound barrier, the whole plane's about to come apart. It's shaking violently. It's vibrating. I mean, the place is about to fly apart. And they would pull back. They wouldn't press through. But Yeager just said, let's see what happens. And pushed it right through. And when he broke through, there was a sonic boom, and it was silk. Silent and silk. But before he could subdue that milestone and break through that incredible place where nobody else had ever been before, he had to subdue his own fear. And he had to say, let's see. Do you know that fear is something that stymies revival and witness and true intercessory prayer and anointing? Fear of what somebody thinks. Fear of what it's going to cost me. Fear of what it might do disrupting my life. Fear of, I get off in that church by myself and go to praying and wailing and carrying on, the devil will come up in there with me. All kinds of irrational fears, Brother Jimmy. But if you'll subdue your fear by the word of God, extraordinary things. I'm telling you, God's calling this church to extraordinary things. But you can't do extraordinary things in the kingdom of God if you're scared of the alligators under the bed and you're scared of the dark and you're scared of people. Some folks, it's not supernatural things. It's just simple things like fear of rejection and fear of sacrifice. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'm gonna stop here. Why don't we gather down around the altar tonight? There have been battles, World War I and II and Civil War, where national destinies hung in the balance. And the thing that made the difference was whichever side blinked first. They were evenly matched. Men were fighting for inches of turf. And because somebody turned and began to run, it's an amazing thing how contagious fear is. And battles in every major war have been won or lost because of pandemonium breaking out in the ranks because of fear. Praise God. Brother Randy, could you get Acts chapter 4 for me? And go down to verse 12, if you would. This is a man that, when Jesus was being led away with a crushed crown of thorns in his forehead, and he was gonna be nailed to a tree and sacrificed for the sin of the whole world. Peter, who had been his right-hand man, was around a fire watching and feeling that urgency of seeing somebody that you really love about to be murdered. And he was approached by somebody that said, you know him. You're one of his followers. I saw you with him. And he said, because fear got on him, he said, I don't know him. And he's warming, and another man says, you are one of them. I've seen you. And he gets a little more volatile. I don't know him. And then somebody says, you're Galilean. I know you were with him. Fear erupted out of him. He cursed. Said, I've never known him. That rooster began to crow. He looked across the courtyard. Jesus was drilling him, eyeball to eyeball. Fear can do an extraordinary thing and make you deny everything valuable in your life. But something happened to that man, and he wasn't the same. In Acts chapter 4, they were receiving persecution. They were being threatened. The Sanhedrin called them forth, and they said, we want you to stop preaching in that name of Jesus. And Peter stands up for all the disciples. And he says, listen, All we can tell you is what we've seen and heard. He said, but I want you to know something. I want you to know there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. He said, I know him. I know him. I'm his follower. I'm his apostle. I got the keys to the kingdom right here in my pocket. Something happened to him. The fear was displaced by a Holy Ghost anointing. Praise God. Praise God. Come on now. This is a green tree. These are the good times. These are the easy times. It's practically costing us nothing to live for God right now. But I've read in the book, when that end time revival cranks up, it's the wildest thing in the world. The Antichrist comes and tries to wear out the saints of the Most High God. A couple of you sent me that little slideshow from Motorola this week with the Mondex chip. It's like the VeriChip or the Digital Angel. It's a chip Motorola is pioneering, and they're going to insert it. They said that they found the best place to put it, right hand or forehead. John's looking better and better all the time from 2,000 years ago. Praise God. But I also read Revelation chapter 20 where there's a group of people who are not going to take the mark. And they're not going to worship the beast. And it said they lost their heads for the witness of Jesus, the word of God, because they would not take the mark. This is a green tree. Jesus said, if you can't do it in a green tree, what will you do in a dry? Good times, bad times. He said, if you can't handle the footman, what will you do when the horsemen come? Good times, bad. These are the good times. These are the easy. These are the times when you get it all resolved. These are the times when you stoke up on the strength of the Holy Ghost. Now some of you are saying, well, I'm having plenty of trouble right now. And I understand that you are. But friend, this is not a day to be walking in fear. Praise God. I want you to turn to one person right there by you and tell them, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you that your mind and your spirit will be cleared of every fear. That boldness and confidence and faith is going to come upon you. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Pray an anointed prayer for him. Let Holy Ghost run in that prayer. Let that heavenly language flow in that prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mighty God. Worthy God. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah.
How he raised me, how he filled me with the
I want you to open your mouth and begin to bind the spirit of fear. Bind every hindering, lying thing right now. Somebody, plead the blood of Jesus.